Welcome to the Recombobulator Lab with Jason Graham Nye and Chris Dominic.
Hello and welcome back to the Recombobulator Lab. This episode is part two of our conversation with Zane Lamprey on taking offense. If you missed part one, check out last week's podcast.
Can I ask, so Ricky Gervais reckons that nothing's off the table. He says that there is an arrogance that everyone can just walk around the world and not be offended at anything. And it's like, if you take that view, there's landmines everywhere. So as you say, you know, gender is an issue. Pronouns, all those sort of things, they didn't exist 10 years ago maybe. But he says it's all fair game. Do you agree with that, or is that the pathway to cancellation?
Well,
sorry, that word came out really strange. I haven't had a stroke.
here's the thing. That's coming from Ricky Gervais. And people who know him, which are a lot of people, understand, I think, who he really is and understand that he's kidding. And when he says something, you know, and goes down a rabbit hole, it's all intentional. He knows what he's doing. He knows the journey he's bringing people on. But he's Ricky, and he can do it. Because at the end of the day, people expect that from him. And he'll always say, like, this is just for entertainment. It's like Chappelle, you know?
Yeah.
It's like what he was saying is like, you know, I don't know that he said it, but he's an entertainer. He's got to keep things lively. If he's just going up there and he's not pushing the limits, then he's not Dave Chappelle. And if somebody, it doesn't have to be intentional, but if somebody's not offended, if he walks away from a special, him or Ricky, and no one's offended, then he has to be like, what did I just do wrong? I gotta redo this, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Zane, I want to go deep here. We're going to turn a corner right now, and I hope you're sitting down. I know you're walking. You've got a cool haircut. You've got 3% body fat, and we all want to buff you, as we say down here in Australia. We all want to buff you. We love you. We want to buff you so much. We're going to go deep now, Zane. You ready? Strap in.
Yeah.
What offends you? Other than me, obviously, this random Australian.
Well, no. You know what's interesting? I was going to say to you guys that everyone gets offended at something. And you know, as like I could say something to Chris that would offend him that doesn't offend Jason, or vice versa, because we all have these triggers, right? Isn't that the job of siblings? Our siblings know our triggers.
Yes.
Our siblings can upset us with a snap of a finger that other people don't know what it is. So, I mean, mine is just people assuming that I don't know something. I don't know.
Interesting.
This is something interesting that happened when I was, okay. So we were recording the last four shows because they were in California. I brought a crew with me because I didn't have to fly them. I just had to put them in hotels. These guys were already on the payroll, so it was like easy. I'm just gonna bring them to the four shows, and then we're gonna video record these four shows. So we had five cameras running on the shows that we were doing, and we were setting them up in the back. So we had a show that had like 170 people. We had like extra chairs, like 190 chairs out, and in the back were some like picnic tables that we had put our gear on, and we were setting up our equipment back that far because we had long lenses. We want to stay out of people's way and we can shoot from back there. So we were far removed. Like, I don't know in meters, Jason. I'm sorry, but probably like, you know, 30 feet.
So 30 typical. Feet. The arrogance of America. Yeah. Oh.
So, you know, somewhere around 6.5 meters.
And oh, that's bullshit.
So we're back there and we set up our cameras and then everyone comes in and we, you know, we go back to our cameras and people are sitting at those tables where my crew is going to be operating cameras right in front of them. And so there's plenty of seats ahead. And so we're just like, we try to put all of our bags on the table so people wouldn't sit there. They just kind of moved our bags out of the way a little bit. And we're like, all right, so I'm back there. And this guy obviously didn't know who I was. And I'm kind of, I'm lining up the camera as my opener is going so that I can just check all the camera angles and make sure that it's good for me. And so I'm back there literally just shooting video of the opener. And this guy comes around. He's like, you guys are in our way. So like, are we moving or are you guys moving? And I just looked at him. And I just like looked away. Like I can't even answer that question. I'm so sorry. Like I didn't say anything. I'm like, nah, man, like whatever. And then they just moved to a different table. Like, bro, we got tripods and all this equipment set up. Like, no, we're not moving out of your way. And I just kind of like, it's one of those things. It doesn't really offend me, but like when I'm going on stage, I'd like to be in the best state of mind.
Right.
My wife knows if it's show day, you guys know we have the animal rescue. And so we have, I don't know, 15 cats in the house right now. Like if something happens and one of those cats dies or something bad happens, you can't let me know. I can't walk on stage with that. You can tell me after the stage and I can have a day to process it and stuff like that. But like, you know, my dog died last December.
Mm.
Mm. On like, you know, a Thursday. I had a show on Friday. I canceled it. And it was sudden too. He went to the groomers and had a heart attack. And it was
no
just like,
way.
And my dog was 185-pound Irish wolfhound. He's the size of a person. It was just kind of weird. And so I was like, I can't do the show the next day. And my whole crew were like, yeah, we can get it. We'll call it. We'll cancel. We'll take care of it. So you know, I kind of avoid people. I call my wife before every show. Because she puts me in a good mood, and I just talk to her about nothing, you know, just whatever. I'm like, she's like, all right, have fun, have a good show, whatever. And then I'm in a great mindset, and that's kind of my, you know, putting myself in the right zone. So someone coming up to me and just asking a stupid question like, "Are am I going to move the cameras, or are those people going to move to another table?"
Right.
Just kind of for a second, just makes me go, you know, whatever.
Right.
I let it go. I let it go. You know what I mean? Just
because
I don't care.
Yeah.
But it is just kind of funny that those are the things that, like, I don't know. Like, on another level, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. It's an interesting thing. There's a weird situation, you know, where this guy was talking to me, and he was like, send me an email. Oh, I love your stand-up. I'm doing stand-up. I've been thinking about doing it. And he's like, yeah, he offered this up. He says, yeah, I'm a gay Latino. And I was like, oh man, you got so much material already. You know, like, I was like, you're so lucky because he gets to talk about the things that affect him. I can't talk about the things that affect him. You know what I mean? And that's fine. I think those are societal rules. And I think that those rules are okay because the rules are, you know, the boundaries, the white lines on the road. Those are the things that that Jim Jefferies likes to snort up. No, that's not what I said. No, I'm not saying that. Those are the things when you bump one of those borders or you go outside the lines a little bit. That's what makes it interesting. Because it's okay. Rules are good. Rules are good because every now and then you'll think, this guy, man, he this is a great joke. This guy goes up here. Okay, I'm gonna tell him. From his perspective, he goes, I gotta tell you, man, I don't like Jews. I don't. He goes, but not all of them, just like two Jews in particular, my parents. And like, so you're like, oh, dude, well done.
That's good.
Well done.
That's good.
You're just like, because, you know, as another comedian, you're like, you know, it's the art of pinning yourself into a corner. You're like, oh, this guy can't. What is he going to say to get himself out of this? That is pretty aggressive. Like, he's Jewish.
So
got
funny.
It. Okay. Well done, buddy. So
what about this thing? See this on social media. Like, oh, that thing doesn't offend me, but it's like third party offense. Like I'm outraged that comedian said that thing about that person. For example, the Jewish thing, right? Like I find that really interesting. Like, is that a new thing? Is that an understand? I just find it weird.
Sometimes I think.
Down in Australia.
Yeah, it's an Australian thing.
There's attention-seeking people even in Australia. They get on the internet and they blow stuff up and they pretend that they're a warrior in a culture war.
Well, that's what it is. It's someone who is speaking on someone else's behalf. You know, like, yeah. There's another one. Like, people will be on, like, my social media. I'm trying to think of an example. And they'll say, like, hey, Zane, people want to know, man. Why are you da-da-da-da? I'm like, dude, people want to know or you want to know? You're not the spokesperson for people. You want to ask a question, ask a question. Like, a lot of people really were offended, or a lot of people wondering, or people, you know, like, don't say people. Just say,
yeah.
You have a question. That's fine. Like, don't try to hide behind that. And yeah, I mean, there are the people there. You're right. The culture warriors that are going to try to, come it's in third party and be the PC police.
Yeah, it's interesting.
They keep it interesting, I guess.
My issue with that is mostly just around. I mean, if you've got really strong beliefs and something offends you, you have every right to be that way. I think the part that concerns me sometimes is people who, it really doesn't sound like they're genuinely offended by this. They're looking for an opportunity to blow this issue up. They're looking for an opportunity to get some free media or some free airtime or some free sunlight,
sure.
Whatever you call it.
Yeah, sure. Which, some people are doing it for obvious reasons. Some people are doing it for reasons that they might not even be aware of. You know, like you're saying, like, yeah, some like withholding that Billy Bush tape, that was done for selfish reasons, right? Someone benefited from that or thought they would benefit from that. That's why they did that. Whereas, yeah, some people are just going up there and, you know, like I had this guy, this actually pissed me off. This was probably 12 years ago when I was shooting Drinking Made Easy. And this is a show for Mark Cuban's channel. And it was about traveling around the country and going to different breweries and wineries and bars and whatever. And my buddy, my best friend was along. He was my co-host and he, his quote character was the drinking guy. Like I would drink and ask questions and I would, you know, sometimes I get a little bit loose, but he would always get loose. And this guy went on our Facebook page and said, you guys are a bunch of alcoholics that are promoting, reckless drinking and, like all this kind of stuff. And it was just like, bro, like it got me. I had to respond to it. And then I was like, you know what? Screw this guy. Delete. And then it was, and it never happened. But like, cause he doesn't, you don't deserve an answer. You don't know me. You don't know me. You don't understand what my intentions are. You don't know. And you know what I mean? Like at the end of the day, you don't know anything about me. You don't know why I do something. And don't tell me that I'm trying to glorify alcohol abuse and stuff like that. Like that is someone that had a trigger and reacted. And for better or for worse, the internet is a place where you can speak before you think, you know, and then other people have to sort out the mess.
Yep. Totally. Well, hey, I'm going to take a turn on you because I have been dying to learn how the heck you managed the clothing company, the apparel company during all this. I mean, you must have broken some sort of record for consecutive stand-up dates.
Okay, so the question is, how do I keep the apparel brand alive while I'm on the road?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm sure you got a great team. I mean, but wow.
That's why I was like a few minutes late to this. So my apparel brand is based out of Seattle. The guy that I was having run my day-to-day operations, I hired him. He lived there. He was going to move down to Los Angeles, which is where I live. And it was during COVID. I was like, what's the point of having you move, man? Let's telecommute. And then when things started to get better, we realized like, hey, we were using a third party fulfillment company in Kentucky, Lexington, Kentucky. That was, central in the U.S. All of our stuff went there and then they drop shipped everything. So all of our inventory, they just, maintained our inventory, but it was so expensive. They charged all these little ticky tack things that they're making money and they cut into your margin pretty heavily. And so we're like, all right, why don't we just do our own fulfillment? We have an office. So we got an office in Seattle. Then he went on, he moved on. He had the dream to travel the country and write a book. So I'm never going to get in the way of someone following their dreams. I'll encourage it, even if I got to pick up the pieces. But I had a good staff in place at that point that stepped up. And so because that he had hired. So now I have an office in Seattle that I've been to once. But I Zoom with those people every day. So I have four people on my staff. We had our team meeting, you know, every Tuesday and Thursday for about an hour, hour and a half. And then I'll have individual calls or Zooms or emails, projects that are people are working on to just help manage it. And you know, because I'm on the road so much, it doesn't really matter where it is. It's working. And you know, we started the company Adventure, and we were making kind of, I guess, high tech, you know, premium like jackets and backpacks and stuff. And our competition were the big dogs. And, you know, we were planting three trees with every purchase and making great stuff, but we can't, you know, we can't compete with their margins, you know, with their manufacturing and stuff like that. So we've been, you know, kind of trying to figure this out. And what's interesting is we were still releasing, Pleeplius products. So Pleeplius is the monkey that I've been traveling with in all my shows. He's now represented by a silhouette. And people are always saying, oh, can you release a few Pleeplius t-shirts or Pleeplius this? And when we released the Pleeplius t-shirt, we would get like, I mean, I think one weekend we launched a shirt. We got like 1400 orders in a day. And I was like, you know, we're doing this wrong. We're trying to force Adventure down everyone's throat. It's like, you know, eco plant trees brand. When everyone is like, because maybe that's who I am deep in my soul, but what they see me as, and certainly who I also am, is the fun, you know, social guy, and they want a fun social brand. And so we changed the name of our company from Adventure to Pleeplius. We have 1,500 investors through two Reg CFs that we did, and they're all incredibly supportive. And we're now shifting from, you know, backpacks and jackets to really like premium, like crew necks and hoodies and other products, you know, for like going to the brewery, hanging out with your friends, traveling, that kind of thing. And it's just been like, and our whole thing now is just celebrate life and, you know, crack one open when you get there. And
so here's something that I noticed about this, though, that's so brave and awesome, is now you have all this space. I mean, when I typed in Adventure the last time I did, I had to sort through a lot of other companies that had that word. And Pleeplius, I mean, that's yours, man. That's yours.
Well, like, you're right. And what we did with it, we with Adventure, the first E was a 3. ADV3NTUR.
Right.
And so, but every time we said that, every time we said Adventure with a 3, people like didn't understand. And they, you know, people would write Adventure and then the number 3 after it. Some people would even see the word Adventure with the first E as a 3, the number 3, and call us Adventreacher or Adventure 3. And I was just like, okay, we need to change. So now we have a word, now we have the most difficult word to pronounce. But once you know how to pronounce it, you're in, right? So.
Yeah.
So
your SEO is going to go up right away. But you know, yes. I never asked you this question before, and I'm how the heck did you come up with the name Pleeplius?
So we talked about that in my last the stand up special that you would have seen me do the stand up for.
I was in the bathroom.
You were in the bathroom. You were getting drinks. So it was. I was flying into Galway, Ireland, to shoot my very first episode of Three Sheets, my very first episode of a travel show ever. And at this point, I've done 120 episodes. This is episode number one, and we're flying in. I was like, man, if I could figure out a way to turn this drinking show into a drinking game, that would be amazing. But I couldn't think of any rules for the game. I couldn't think of any rules that were unique on the flight in, and I didn't want to be too cliche and whatever. And so walking in, still couldn't figure it out, and I pass this gift shop, and there's a stuffed toy monkey sitting on the shelf, and I grab it, and I start hiding it in the scenes, and on the first day, and then Mike, the director, is like, what's going on with that monkey? And I was like, oh, it's part of this drinking game. He's like, dude, that is amazing, but I got to tell the network about this. I can't just like do it and not tell them, because I, you know, I work for them. And so he's like, we'll call the network tomorrow morning and see what they say. So, but in the meantime, do it for the rest of the day and, you know, have fun. Cause like, we know what the network's going to say. So we get on the phone with the network the next morning from Ireland. And we're, you know, it's like me and Mike on a speakerphone with five people, you know, the head of the network and four attorneys, in a conference room in New York City. He's like, all right, tell us about this monkey. And I was like, well, it's, you know, it's a drinking game. And he's like, well, we don't think it's a good idea to have a drinking game with only one rule. We need more rules. This is amazing. What can you come up with? And so we're like, oh, wow, they love it. Okay, great. And so we kind of threw the other ideas. He's like, we love it. Go for it. Do it. And he's like, by the way, what's the monkey's name? And I was like, and in my mind, I'm like, I thought this monkey was getting canned, you know, tomorrow. So I didn't name him. He's just the monkey, right? This is all my internal dialogue. And so I had to say something. So I go, Pleiplius. It was like, I just like pulled out a word. I thought it sounded important in Greek. I had no idea where it came from. He's like, purples? Oh. I'm like, no, Pleiplius. He's like, no. Email me. And that was it. So I had to come up with how to say it, how to spell it. And then that was it. Pleiplius was born. And yeah, man, now like millions of people know who Pleiplius is. It's amazing.
Yeah, and I love the new website. It looks so cool. It's such a great silhouette. It's very, very cool. Obviously, you'll be launching boutiques here in Australia any day now.
You know, now you know what's crazy is I have a pretty good contingency, like, you know, fan base, as they would say on Flight of Conchords in Australia. And I was planning on coming down there this past January and February because, you know, like, you got, when was it? Was it last year? Yeah, it would have been this last January, February. You guys had like a COVID like resurgence. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to like plan on coming down there. I was going to do like 7 or 8 shows. And then it was like, you can't go. Like we weren't sure what was going to happen. I think we would have probably started planning it like in September or October. And you guys were sort of in the middle of a resurgence. And I was like, I can't plan a trip that I possibly can't even go on. I can't do it to cancel. So then we added on a bunch of you know, other cities in the Pacific Northwest and then the Plain States and stuff like that. So we, you know, we filled in our tour, but I was really looking forward to coming down and doing it in Australia and possibly New Zealand. I mean I would have been leaving my winter to come down to your summer. All right, I'll take it. Thank you.
Yeah. No, we are willing, ready, and can't wait to see you again on our sunny shores. But yes, we did get nailed by a second round of COVID.
Yeah, I mean, it'll help when my specials come up. I shot a special in March, which still has not aired.
Okay.
It's cool. In many people's hands. And then I've also shot like 2 shorter specials I shot this weekend, and I'll be shooting another special in January. So pretty soon I'll have a bunch of them out there. Because my job right now and the overarching idea is to raise my Q rating. What I need to do is I can't continue to be the guy who had these drinking shows, you know, 10 years ago. I need to be a comedian who, you know, who's out there doing stuff now, who also had a show years ago. So I'm in the process of just reminding or rebranding people that I'm a comedian. So, you know, so then I can continue to grow the market, grow my brand there.
So when you do your new podcast, Lightly Toasted, which is a really clever idea, by the way, is it connected to any part of what you're working on specifically? Or is it more of just, it allows you a vehicle to really extend the brand for everything?
Right. It's I got the rights back to 4 sheets. I did 3 sheets, and then in 2019, I did 4 sheets. And then COVID came, wiped off that network. I got the rights back. I'm about to start pitching that for potentially shooting that next year. In the meantime, there's a few reasons to it. I mean, the bottom line is I'm reinvigorating my relevance. I'm making myself relevant by talking to people on a podcast, you know, about current things, again, rather than having people look up shows that they love, but that I did 10 years ago. So I'm doing a podcast called Lightly Toasted, where I sit by my fire pit and toast s'mores. I do one of those every week. I do a podcast called the Zane and Steve show, which will come out in a few weeks. We're banking a bunch of episodes of that. That's just me and my buddy Steve, who's given me an ulcer. And then I'll be doing one with my wife. So we have
Oh, cool. A patio.
We have a catio that's like a built-in. It's a deck that's got grass, and then it's all screened in, and so the cats can actually be outside without being outside. And so we're gonna do one from there where we just it'll be about us, just us shooting the shit rather than being about the cats necessarily. But it's whatever direction she wants to go. So I'll be doing a bunch of those. And then I have another one called Crafts and Crafts, where I'll be sitting down with celebrities, drinking craft beer and doing arts and crafts. So there's a bunch that'll be happening that'll keep me incredibly busy, and then hopefully resonate with the same people and then different people.
That's brilliant.
So just before we were talking to you, we were talking with each other, and one of the things that Jason and I were, I don't know, were we lamenting, Jason? I don't know. We were talking about the fact that some people just don't get why we want to have our irons in so many fires. But we both do. That's like part of the reason why we're doing this. And it's fun to watch, and it's really impressive that you're pulling all that off, because I think Jason and I know the fun that you get out of that, the freshness that you get from having all of those different places to go. It's fun to watch.
Definitely.
Well, but pulling off means something different in Australia. I think you need to maybe clarify.
Yes, I've already learned a few. I've made a few mistakes.
What you want to do with Jason, yeah.
Yeah, no, the one that I've already embarrassed myself with an Australian guest was I told her that I'd be rooting for her, which apparently doesn't mean what we mean.
Well, I met my Canadian wife. She had a top on called Roots in Canada. Roots in Canada, the brand Roots. And my first question to my soon-to-be future wife was, so do you do that in Australia as well, or is it just a Canada-only thing? Because root means something very different
right,
down here.
Right, and she got it?
Just.
Yeah, right.
She knew enough to walk away.
Yeah, right. Exactly. She ran, right. And then I chased her down. Yeah. Like all good romances.
Well, Zane, Jason, you don't know this, but when we contacted Zane, the first thing he did was point out that I missed the Portland show on his new tour.
So it's relentless.
And it's so close. But here's the crazy thing, and I think you know this, Chris. I'm addicted to Zillow, like a lot of people.
And I
was like, my wife and I have been looking at this house, tracking this house, and being like, what? Why is this house not selling? There's something wrong, or we're not seeing it, or whatever it is. And I land in Portland, and I'm just like, I'm in so many cities. I just wasn't thinking clearly. I really rarely know what day of the week it is. And so I land there, and I was like, oh my God, the house we're looking at is that on Lake Oswego. That's in Portland.
Yeah.
And I look at the map, I'm like, that's pretty much on the way to the venue. And this was like on a Thursday afternoon. And so I pulled to this house. They were having like a party on a Thursday afternoon. And I was like, and this guy, the kind of security guard, is like, you here for the party? I'm like, maybe. What's the party for? He's like, oh, it's the realtor has guests over. I'm like, yeah. That sounds like my party. And I was like, can you just go grab her? And she comes out. I'm like, look, I've been looking at this house. From LA, and I just happened to be in town doing a show, and she shows me the house. Anyway, long story short, I make an offer, they counter, we accepted it, and we're just kind of going through it and working out all the details at the end. And it had some tax problems. It had this grandfathered tax thing in there where the property taxes were $50,000. And I talked to the residential assessor and everything, and he's like, we can put it through. We can probably, take that down significantly. But I'm saying probably, I'm not saying definitely. And I was just like, That, oof. I mean, a minor HOA, but then just the upkeep and the stuff we're going to have to do. I'm like, and my wife's like, I love it. I'm like, I do too, but we can't. I'll send you guys a link to it.
Oh, you're going to get another shot, Zane. Come on.
Yeah. We'll get another shot. We love it. We love it. We want to be in the lake. And then people are like, oh, how about somewhere else in Portland? I'm like, no offense to Portland or anywhere else. I'm moving out of LA to be, because I can be on the water. That's what makes me happy. Right?
Yeah.
That's going to add 10 years to my life if I can just wake up and walk out and I'm on a lake or a stream or the ocean.
And Zane, as someone who used to live in Lake Oswego, which is pretty weird, right? I'm living 10,000 miles away from you. We pick one suburb. Right. It's Lake Oswego. We weren't on the lake, but we had friends who had an allotment thing on the lake. Hot August nights is something that I want you to be at, Zane. And Zane, hot August nights is going to involve you on the lake with about 300 other boats. And if I was you, I'd be getting that celebrity trainer of yours to really fire it up. Because it's a very, it's exciting. It's an exciting thing for 50-year-old people like you and me and Chris. And and just don't drown.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
All
very right. Important.
I'll give you three out of four of those.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then Stickman's is the pub on the lake, and that's where you could.
I know. Every time I go there, I go there.
You're brilliant.
Oh, maybe
that's brilliant.
On the lake.
Brilliant.
Awesome. Well, Zane, I am going to make up for it by catching you in San Diego. Okay.
Oh yeah, that's gonna be amazing.
Yep.
Do it.
Gonna happen. So I will see you then.
Ale Smith on December 3rd, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by the way, I've been to AleSmith before, and I am going to plug right now one of their beers. They have one of the best pale ales I've ever had. It's the Tony Gwynn 394 that is named after the batting average he had in 1994. I always thought that was super cool. Very cool San Diego local thing to do.
Such a
gig. Oh, yeah.
Baseball. Oh, I've got an average of 3,948 hits or strikes or baskets or some blah, 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 blah.
Just because you have flat bats.
Hey. It's called cricket, and it's a game of the gods. I won't have it, Zane. I won't have it, Chris.
Listen, I'm going to let you guys go.
We're gonna drink it out.
That does kind of sound like the ending there. Thank you so much for being on, Zane.
You got it. I will see you guys. I'll talk to you soon. Cheers.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Cheers. See you, Zane.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us at the Recombobulator Lab with Chris Dominic and Jason Graham Nye. Catch you next time.